If there's anything that stands out about the apostolic church, it is the fact that they took care of one another. As a matter of fact, the whole concept of deacons came about because of the care those early Christians had for one another. In chapter 6 of the book of Acts, we're told that trouble broke out in the church. Wouldn't you know it? After all, we're not totally sanctified yet, and trouble broke out in the apostolic church. And one of the characteristics of the apostolic church is a characteristic that most churches, unfortunately, still have today, and that's the problem of murmuring. Now, we may not have all those spiritual characteristics of the apostolic church, such as witnessing and praying, but every church I've ever known has had that historic mark of murmuring. Anyway, the Bible says that, quote, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the church was growing, everything was going well, the Hellenists murmured against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution, Acts 6:1. Now the apostle said, quote, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. Acts 6:2 and 3. Those who were appointed to that ministry were later to be known as deacons, which comes from the Greek word diakonos, a word meaning servant. So a deacon is one who serves, and service or ministry always characterize the apostolic church. So if a church isn't ministering in love for others, it does not bear a critical mark of the apostolic church. In our scripture for this morning, we read how the early church took care of its needy members. Our text for this morning says, and they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. That's verse 45. And do you know why they said that? Do you know why they did that? Because they had discovered an incredible mystery. They discovered that how they treated each other was how they treated Christ. Do you remember the story of Paul on the road to Damascus with warrants stuffed in his pocket to arrest Christians? He had stood by holding the cloaks of those who had stoned Stephen to death. And after that, the Bible says, Saul was ravaging the church. That's a strong word, isn't it? He was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison, Acts 8:3. Now he was off to Damascus with the warrants in his pocket, intent on more ravaging. But along the way, Jesus appeared to him. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When Saul persecuted people, he was persecuting Jesus. But we shouldn't be surprised at that. Late in his ministry, Jesus told us about the day of judgment. He tells how the sheep will be separated from the goats. And to the sheep, the king will say, Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And you know the righteous are going to be puzzled about that, Jesus says. For all of them will say to the king, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit you? Do you remember what the king answered? He will say, Truly I say to you, as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. That's from Matthew chapter 25. So the apostolic church had learned a great lesson. They had learned that how they treated one another was how they were treating Christ. Do you remember how Jesus once put it to his disciples? He gave them a new commandment. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then he added a dramatic statement. He added, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And by the way, that's the theme of our closing hymn this morning. They'll know we are Christians by our love. So the apostolic church was a church that had changed from hate to love, because hate didn't work. A lot of us haven't discovered that yet. I read a story the other day about a church softball league, and in the playoffs it was a Baptist church playing a Presbyterian church. And when the Baptists did something great, all the Baptists cheered. And when the Presbyterians scored a run, the Presbyterians cheered. But one fan was different. He cheered for both teams. When a Baptist did something exceptional, he cheered. When the Presbyterians made a sparkling play, he cheered. And finally, one Baptist fan couldn't stand it anymore. He said, "Fellow, you're cheering for both sides. What's the trouble? Don't you have any religion?" But the apostolic church is a church that has changed to love, because hate doesn't work. There's a North and a South Korea because hate doesn't work. There's an East Germany and a West Germany because hate doesn't work. There are Jews pitted against Palestine and the Holy Land because hate doesn't work. We had a civil rights movement because hate didn't work. We had a Pearl Harbor and we found out hate didn't work. And whether you pit black against white, rich against poor, young against old, nation against nation, the only thing that's ever going to work is love. Hate never works. And the apostolic church changed to love because hate never worked. After all, that's what the Bible said. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." 1 John 4:7-8. So the first point I want to make is that an apostolic church acts in love because God is love. Hate doesn't work. Love does. If you hate someone this morning, I want to tell you, hate won't work. If you hate your children, it won't work. If you hate your parents, hate won't work. If you hate your business associates, hate won't work. If you hate your neighbors, hate won't work. Hate won't solve anything. Hate only makes things worse. Only love works. For love is of God. The second thing I want to say about an apostolic church is that it acts in love because we need one another. We are to be a witness to love in an unloving world. Did you ever stop to think that the church is supposed to be an illustration in the world of how kingdom life works? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, has broken into the world of darkness. And we who belong to the kingdom of light are to live out a demonstration of heaven life. How we live in the church is an illustration, it's a demonstration of what heaven is supposed to be like. Life in the church is supposed to be the kind of life that makes the world say, "See how they love one another." And the church is supposed to be the called out people of God. Do you realize that Jesus promised His presence to the gathered people of God? You remember when we learned the Great Commission, and it ended up by saying, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." That "you" is plural. And Jesus said to His disciples, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Matthew 18:20. Let me say this to you. People who reject the church, who don't want to be a part of the organized church, simply do not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. It calls it the body of Christ. And when a job is lost, when a loved one dies, when someone is sick, when trouble is on every hand, when life tumbles in, oh, how we need one another. I had a young man come up to me between services, and he said, you know, this past week has been one of the most horrible weeks in my life. But I went to this pastor and that pastor and this member, and they prayed for me, and he named them off, and they prayed for me, and it's helped me through. When temptation has overwhelmed us, how we need one another. When we have sinned and fallen, how we need the loving forgiveness of the body of Christ to pick us up and to still love us. When we have decisions to make and don't know what to do, how important to have the prayers of those who care about us. During the past couple of years, there was a time when this congregation gathered on a Sunday afternoon, and the Spirit of God fell on it, I understand, because you prayed for me. And I believe I'm here today because you prayed for me. During the Vietnam conflict, a pilot was shot down named Gerald L. Coffey. He was to spend over 7 years as a prisoner under the most terrible of circumstances, much of that time in solitary confinement. He and the other guests, prisoners, they were called guests, developed a code by tapping out letters so they could communicate with one another. And from cell to cell to cell, they would tap out messages of encouragement. And they all became Christians, and they would recite Bible passages to each other through the cells. And when a person was being tortured, the message would come, "Gut it out, we're praying for you." And that's what the body of believers is all about. It's caring for one another. It's helping one another. It's praying for one another. It is reaching out to one another in love. I read somewhere recently about something that happened in a large metropolitan hospital where there was a constant problem with noise in the nursery where they kept the newborn babies. Crying babies would disturb one another. And the sound level was not only difficult for the little babies, but it was also very wearing on the nursing staff. They tried separating the babies. They tried soundproofing the walls. And while it helped the staff, it did very little for the crying babies. And finally, somebody got the bright idea of playing a recording of the heartbeat of a mother beside each bed. And it worked. The sound that the baby had first heard long before it was born was the one sound that comforted it the most, the sound of the heartbeat of its mother. Listen, the love we have for one another within the body of Christ is the heartbeat of God, for God is love. The sounds of love are the sounds that comfort our hearts, and that's why it's so important for the body of Christ to have the heartbeat of love for one another. I read a beautiful illustration of love the other day. It seems a minister had married a young couple some 10 years before, and he was invited to their home to celebrate with them their 10th anniversary. Since their marriage, they had had 3 children, but then a tragedy struck because the mother came down with lateral sclerosis and was gradually dying. He had spent all of the money. He was a farmer and had used all of his resources, mortgaged his farm, everything, to take care of her medical expenses. The dinner that night was very plain and simple, and this young husband and father moved about taking care of the 3 children and his wife. And the pastor said the tenderness of that young farmer with his sick wife caught my heart. After the dinner was over, the young man went to a dresser and, pulling out the bottom drawer, took a small package out. And he handed his anniversary present to his frail wife. And she opened it to discover a string of beautiful pearls. At first, the pastor assumed that they were imitation, for surely this young man could not afford real pearls. His wife burst into tears as she caught the pearls in her hand. "Oh," she said, "they can't be mine, for they are real." And then her husband told her about the pearls. "You know," he said, "before we were married, you told me you thought pearls were the prettiest jewelry in the world. You thought they were prettier than anything you could ever wear except for your wedding band. A long time before we got married, I asked the Lord to help me put this string of pearls around your neck. You never knew about this box I had. I started dropping money in it. Nickel by nickel, dime by dime. I was fond of tobacco. I gave that up, and I guess that was a good thing, and I put the money in the box. I was fond of cold Cokes. But for 13 years, starting 3 years before we were married, I haven't spent a nickel on those. They've all gone in the box. And slowly, the money grew. And those pearls are yours, and they're all paid for. For a moment, the wife was silent, and then she whispered, "Oh, my dear, what made you do it?" And he knelt before his frail wife and put his face in her lap as he wept. "I did it," he said, "because I love you." Well, that's what the family of God is all about. It's about taking care of each other. It's about ministering to each other because we love each other. Yes, the apostolic church is a church that ministers. It acts in love because it's discovered that love works. Hate doesn't. It acts in love because we need one another. And then thirdly, the mark of an apostolic church is that it acts in love because the world needs love. You know, if there's anything we need in the world today, it's love. In every part of the world today, there's tension, there's bitterness, there's war, there's hate, there's bombing. In our own city, we have a mayor casting charge and countercharge against others. We have politicians in our city blaming each other. We have all kinds of discord in our country. An Iranian plane full of people is blown out of the sky and all are lost. In retaliation, a Pan Am plane is blown out of the air and all are killed. Killing leads to killing. Retaliation leads to retaliation. And where, beloved, will it end? Let me tell you something that every psychologist knows. We learn to abuse by being abused. We learn to hate by being hated. We learn to fight by being beaten. But the reverse is also true. We learn to love by being loved. Some years ago, a psychologist named Harlow did an experiment that demonstrated that love is a learned phenomenon. He did an experiment that every first-year psychology student is now exposed to. He took some baby monkeys and he constructed an artificial mother out of wire and cloth, and that was the only mother those baby monkeys had. And he discovered that when those young monkeys who were deprived of a mother's love had monkeys of their own, children of their own, they were unable to love their own offspring. Yes, the fact is we love because we are loved. Love is a learned phenomenon. Do you remember what the Bible says? It says, you know, it knew psychology before psychology ever got itself invented. And Jesus put it this way, "As I have loved you, love one another." We've learned to love because He first loved us. So an apostolic church is a church that loves the world for Christ's sake. It is a church which is trying to show the world what love is like so that the world can learn to love also. And I want to tell you, without the Christian faith, the world will never learn to love. We have the Muslims who want to kill a man because he wrote something derogatory about them. None of us like derogatory statements. But that's not a response of love. You don't learn to love from those kinds of acts. The Christian faith, you and I have the only resource for the church in the world today, the love of Jesus Christ. He loved us. Therefore, we can, having learned love, love the world. For a little boy whose father never showed up and whose mother is living on food stamps. For a young girl who is confused about life and who's trying out drugs and being pressured into sex by her boyfriend. For someone living in inner city poverty. For those schools that are second rate where children are not learning to read and write. For little children who've lost hands or feet because of toys made into bombs in Afghanistan. For little Ethiopian children whose stomachs are bloated and distended for lack of food. For the street person who has no home. for the unemployed who has no job. The world needs to see love demonstrated so that it too can learn how to love. Love is a learned phenomenon. And this church has not begun to tap the resources that we've got to minister to a lost and desperate world. Does the job seem impossible? Does it seem incredible? The world can never learn to love until it experiences love. And no matter how impossible it may seem, an apostolic church is a church that ministers. It is a church that makes a start. It is a church that dares to involve itself in love. Back in 1985, after the terrible earthquake that had struck Mexico City, the Los Angeles Times ran a wonderful human interest story. A little Japanese-American boy was going door to door in Los Angeles selling picture postcards for 25 cents each. And he was taking the profit to send for earthquake relief. One man bought some cards from the little boy, and then he asked the boy, "How much do you hope to raise?" And without a second's thought, the boy replied quickly, $1 million. The man smiled and said, "Do you mean to tell me that you're trying to raise $1 million to help the earthquake victims all by yourself?" "Oh, no, sir," replied the boy. "My little brother's helping me." An apostolic church is a church that's ministering because love works, but hate doesn't. It's ministering in love because we need one another. It is ministering in love to a lost world because we learn to love by being loved. And it's a big job, a really big job. But we can do it if our brother is helping us and if we do it together. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray.